Today on the Game Boys podcast, we got a big one for you. We went to Gamer and Comic Expo. We had a Q&A with Christian Nairn, Hodor actor in Game of Thrones, and DJ.
We also had an interview with one of my personal favorites, Jamie Marquis, High School DxD, Panty and Stocking, actress, director, writer. Tune in. Check it out.
Hey guys, welcome back. We got a new podcast for you, and most importantly, let's just start off with saying we got a new name to the podcast. What's that name, Bowman?
It is now Analog Out.
We have a good name now. We didn't have a good name before. We always hated the name. We thought the name was stupid, and so did you. Let's be honest.
It was always a joke.
We got a new name now, though. We're taking this seriously. We're going to expos. We're interviewing people. We're talking to people like Hodor from Game of Thrones and Jamie Marquis, actress, director, writer of anime, My Hero Academia, High School DxD, Miss Kobayashi Dragon Maid. She's doing all the stuff. She was my personal favorite jury in Yu Yu Hakusho. Bowman, how much do I love Yu Yu Hakusho?
A lot. You introduced me to it, and you've seen it a lot.
I'm a big Yu Yu Hakusho nut. They call us Yu Yu heads.
Yes.
So I'm going to, so right off the bat here, let's just, I'm sure you're probably confused. You've got like a new icon in your podcast. You're like, what the fuck is this?
Don't click away. It's still us. We're still here with you.
It's the same show. It's just we're rebranding because realistically, the name sucked.
Let's be honest here. We've always wanted to do this. We've always wanted to go to conventions and actually have real content to deliver to you guys.
Yeah.
And you don't want to introduce yourself as the Game Boys with
no,
the Z.
No, you don't.
We created this name as a joke. Like, it really was just like a joke YouTube
show. We couldn't think of a name, and I just went, what about the Game Boys?
And I thought it was so stupid that I said, yes, let's do that, because it's just,
But now we're serious. We are award-winning, world-renowned podcast. We got invited to Gamer and Comic Expo. Fun time, by the way.
Yeah. And thank you so much.
Yeah,
Claudia was her name, so shout out to her.
Claudia, thank you so much. You guys were so great to us and gave us those press passes. People took us seriously. People went, wow, now those guys are going somewhere. So, yeah, we had a good time.
We're half joking, but it was actually
time. Totally serious. I'm not joking. So, anyway, we had a little Q&A and an interview with Jamie Marquis. All right, what's some of the things that this wonderful woman has done?
High School DxD. We said it in the intro there. Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid.
She was in fucking
Kokoya.
Yu Yu Hakusho.
She was in Yu Yu Hakusho. She's been in the business for a long time, and she also was in Panty and Stocking, which is one of my personal favorite animes. Which is actually one of the rare animes where I prefer the dubbed. Over.
Right.
Just like Yu Yu Hakusho, where you prefer the dubbed over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great, great show. I was really happy to geek out with her, and she was more than happy to geek out with me about it.
Yeah, she was awesome. She was so nice to us.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, and
she had no reason to be nice to us, and she was super sweet to us.
Yeah, she was really nice. The panel was strange.
not because of her.
No, not because of her at all, because of the questions. Someone asked her how much money she made.
Yeah.
So that was strange, but anyway, we had a great time with her. You did an interview with her, and I asked her a few questions in the Q&A. You asked her a few questions in the Q&A, and we've got that for you right now.
Tell your younger self something. When you first started voice acting, what would it be?
That's a great question. I thought you said you had no gotchas. To trust myself more. And not, because I think, especially in this industry, we don't have the chance to read a script ahead of time. And so when we're in the booth, we read it, we watch it, and that's it. That's all the time we have. If I'm doing a video game, I have no idea what's going on. I might get a director that tells me what's happening, but I don't read a script. It's just like, these are your lines. And maybe you'll find out what you're talking about, and maybe you won't. So it being in that, I've learned to just trust my instincts, and it's usually right where I need to be. And I wish when I was younger, I didn't doubt myself so much, and that I just believed that, I believed in my instinct and my instincts, and I believed in what I felt like I should do, and didn't question it so much. It's a lot of unnecessary torment that I didn't actually have to go through if I just, because worst thing is, it's not right. But if I'm dwelling on it and like, oh, what is, am I making the rest, you know, it would have been so much easier to just be wrong.
Yeah, just commit to a decision.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Than to wonder what I'm, you know, if I'm wrong or if I'm right or, you know.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Thank you for answering.
Yes.
How much do voice actors usually
Yeah, so you mentioned earlier that most voice actors work part-time and have another job. Was there a moment or a specific role that you did that made you realize that you wanted to do this as a career, full-time, over 350 roles?
Well, here's what's... I was an actor before. Okay. So I knew that's what I wanted to do from a very young age. I don't remember not wanting to be an actor. I did theater in high school. I went and lived with my grandparents so I could go to a school that had theater, because we lived out in the country. Hence Ellie, I'm from Oklahoma. So I did theater in high school. I went to college. I have a fine arts degree.
Adios.
What was I saying before death interrupted us?
You went to a fine. You had a fine arts degree.
Right. Yes. So I have a theater degree.
What time is that?
I was doing stage. I moved to Chicago to do theater.
Okay.
That's where I was. September 11th happened, and so everything kind of shut down artistically. I did a theater tour, a children's theater tour, which was a nightmare, in South Texas. And, it was a challenge. And I ended up in the Dallas area, and I met someone at a party who worked for Funimation. At
right.
the time, all they had was Dragon Ball and Fruits Basket. That's it.
Yeah.
And then Yu Yu Hakusho, I think.
Yeah.
And so... I just, as an actor, they were like, come audition, you're an actor. I was like, okay, I'll do it. And I auditioned, and it just became this thing.
Right.
I never imagined that I would be a voice actor. I was going to be on the stage, mm-hmm. right? And then it just worked out. And I had writing experience, and when I quit all my other jobs, was I had seen some people that were fresher to the industry than I was. And they were writing, and I was like, well, if they're writing, I can write easily. You know, I can do this. I can do the adaptations. And then there were people directing that didn't maybe have as much experience as I did. And I was like, I could direct. So I contacted a head writer, said I would love to write for you. I have this theater degree. I did a lot of writing. Here's some of my work. Contacted a director. Hey, I took a lot of directing classes while I was in college. Have a theater degree. Let me know. And literally the same day, like, they both were like, we'll let you know if, you know, anything comes up. And the next week, on the same day, they both called me and said, can you come in and do this? Can you start Friday? And I think it was on a Tuesday. So I was working part-time at the Container Store, which I love. So I gave up that discount, which was a big deal. And I was like, I've got to go do this stuff. And I started that week. And worked solid for a year. I would direct 10 to 6, voice act as well. I would go home and write from 7 to 1, 2 in the morning and get up and do it all over again. And after about a year, I was like, I'm gonna have to make a choice.
Yeah.
So I decided that I could write at home in my pajamas. So I decided to go with writing.
And cool.
And that was 11 years ago.
All right. Thank you.
Jamie Marquis.
Yes.
So you are highly involved in Panty and Stocking, which is like one of my really personal favorites.
And I love that about you.
Yeah. I actually am. I'm one of those asshole guys who's like really, I usually watch subs a lot because I'm really working on my Japanese right now. So
oh,
I'm.
See, just, yeah. That makes you not an asshole sub.
Okay, fair enough.
Most, it's when somebody doesn't speak Japanese and then wants to tell you how Japanese is better. It's like, but
well,
how
it's
do
like,
you
it's
know?
Not your native tongue. Like, you don't
right.
know
yeah.
how it actually is. But at the
so
same
kudos
time.
To you for doing
yeah.
that, I think.
At the same time, there are some dubs where they really stick out. It's really good. And Panty and Stocking is one of those to me.
Thank you.
So what would you say that, what would you say Panty and, like your work on Panty and Stocky separates from other dubs?
Well, it's very vulgar. and I think it's, that is, a it, for Panty and Stocking specifically, the cultural difference is enormous. So they were pushing their limits, which was cool. And it was inspired by the West, which is also cool.
Yeah.
But for us, like, there are a lot of F-bombs. We, you know, we have HBO. You know, it's Netflix now, right? That's just standard on Netflix.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be that surprising to us what's to hear. In Japan, it's like, what? They dropped F-bombs all over the place. What? And so I knew that just F-bombs were not going to be enough. We needed some more clever ways of saying things. I also was told that to make things as Western as possible because the licensor wanted to learn about it and like our terminology and stuff, which made me make stuff up because I thought it was hilarious that someone from licensor would have to explain what a mother bitch was to
oh
someone
my
in
God.
Japan. Like just on a personal level, I couldn't get over how funny. And then also like smegma, like I'm definitely going to use that because can you imagine that conversation? It's amazing.
Oh my God, yeah.
So, but culturally, right, it was, I just had to push the envelope quite a bit more.
That must have been so much fun to like really been given that free rein.
It was. It was yeah. really, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, my family has a pretty wicked sense of humor anyway. So, you know, I would text some of the jokes to my parents and stuff like that. And they always said it was really, there's my favorite joke I wrote for Monica is, you can barely hear it, but she is talking to Panty as Stocking and says, you keep talking, but all I hear is syphilis.
Yes, I do remember that part.
And so I texted it to my dad, and he replied, I think your mother and I are too old to get that.
Oh, my God.
So it's just kind of like, that's just the space that I grew up in.
Yeah.
So for me, it was just fun to play without any restrictions.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, you do have a podcast you started since October.
Yes.
Want to talk about that?
I do. It's Ghoul Intentions. It is a ghost story themed podcast with me and J. Michael Tatum.
Okay.
You can just call him Michael. And we air that they come out every Monday and we do ghost stories and then we discuss them in depth. And we drink Moscow Mules and it's a lot of fun.
All right.
And then we do a live stream on Twitch under Ghoul Intentions every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central. So we're on Instagram, Twitter's Ghoul Intent, and so we do a lot of
that's so
media.
Awesome. Yeah. I've actually, maybe I'm just ignorant when it comes to the podcasting world. I've never seen podcasts really have like an opportunity to jump in the conversation like that, like
oh, yeah?
like in a Twitch streaming base.
Yeah,
maybe I'm too old. I don't know.
It's really fun to interact with people. I think if you really like stuff like ghost stories and stuff like that, it's really fun to interact with people who
yeah.
are crazy the way
everybody
that
has
crazy,
an opinion about
right?
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, who are into it at least.
And so if we tell a ghost story and we discuss, oh, it could have been this or could have been this, and somebody listens to it and is like, well, actually, you know, there might be this thing going on, or, you know, I feel like maybe this person did this or something like that, they can go onto the Twitch stream and chat about it and we'll see it and then we can discuss that or ask us questions about what we thought or our spookiest, you know, stories or things like that. We did, for Halloween, we did a 100 candle game, which is where you light 100 candles and you tell 100 ghost stories, and after each ghost story, you blow out a candle.
Whew.
Supposedly inviting a ghost into your house.
Yeah.
So at the end, you're in darkness with 100 ghosts.
Did you get spooked?
Only afterwards. Because, number one, there was wax all over my table. Of course it was in my house, but a couple days later, I lit all the candles so that the wax would melt down in the tea light holders, and then I wouldn't have to scrape it out so much. So then they were on for a few hours. I blew them all out so I could go upstairs and take a shower. Blew them out, let the dogs out, went upstairs, came back down, and two of the candles were on again. and
That's pretty spooky.
It was a little creepy.
With that many ghost stories told, I would probably
be a
little...
Yeah, my fiancé was like, two ghosts left! That's great news! but yeah, like, little stuff like that we talk about, and we'll probably have some more special events. We had a Dia de los Muertos episode that's in Spanish, exclusively.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to try to do some fun things like that.
Cool.
Too.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for talking to us. It was a pleasure hearing your panel. It was awesome, despite some hiccups, but it was a really fun panel.
It was a good time. Thank you guys for
having
us. Anything else you want to plug real quick?
Let's see. My Twitter is MarkyMark, MarkyMark. And I'm most active there. But I'm also on Instagram. I actually post a lot of puppy pictures on Instagram.
You heard it here, folks. Pupper pics.
That's right. I have two Boston Terriers and a Shih Tzu. And then Michael Tatum always brings over his Frenchie. So there's a lot of pictures of Frenchies and Bostons in my Insta. So
we're dog boys ourselves, mostly him.
So yeah. Nice. We're about to share some pictures. I can't wait.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Wow, what a great interview.
Wow. Incredible, Bowman. I'm really really impressed with your interviewing skills there.
Yeah.
It was good. I'm glad that you guys had stuff to talk about because I love anime, but like I'm terrible with like keeping up with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also terrible with names. So you were more up to date on her on her stuff than I was. She was gracious enough to give us an interview. She even said that she doesn't usually do it, which I don't blame them because I'm sure they have there's probably a lot of like issues with, you know, working with Funimation. They don't want you talking too much to people, and she was super nice to us. And you know, in that interview she talked about her podcast. Please go check that out. Sounds like a good time. We literally just got back from the convention, so we haven't had a chance to listen to it.
I'm pretty delusional right now, folks, so I'm sorry.
Bowman's on 3 hours of sleep. He got to my house last night at, what, 3?
Yeah.
3 a.m., and then he woke up at 7, and we got up, and we drove 8 hours today, and we went to the convention all day. So
yeah, and now I'm drinking, so.
Yeah, we're having a few beers, you know, kicking it old school, one of them days. You know how it is. So, anyway, she was wonderful. She really was. And please go check out her work. Obviously I'm a big fanboy when it comes to, we've talked about it here, Yu Yu Hakusho, but she really was one of my favorite characters in that show. That's what I'm most familiar with. But, from what I hear, the dub, I haven't checked it out yet because I don't watch anime until it's fully aired. But yeah. From what I hear, the dub of My Hero Academia, which I don't know anything about other than it's super popular, is apparently phenomenal.
It is. I love My Hero Academia, and the dub is very well done.
So tell me, well, I guess you guys talked about it in the interview, but tell us a little bit about what makes her version of Panty and Stocking that she wrote so special.
Well, the show is a love letter to Western animation cartoons, like how offensive we can be, how brash we can be, and how... So when they... As she said in the interview, if you listen, that she was given the opportunity to do the adaptation, and they basically gave her freedom to be offensive, be as Western, as American offensive as you can possibly be. Mm-hmm. Be like a South Park show almost at that point. So what makes the show so good, the writing is just so well done. Like the insults in the show are just funny. Everything that comes out of everyone's mouth is just really funny. And the delivery, so much comedic timing is like perfect on this show. When you watch it, it does not seem like an anime.
It doesn't seem like a foreign show.
No, not at all. It seems like it's completely a Western, really funny cartoon show.
Well, so we've actually talked about this before, and I've told you that I prefer dubs when it comes to
comedy.
Comedy.
Yeah, of course.
For that reason.
Yeah. it's not the same. Like when you like, I do laugh when I watch Japanese subtitled animes, but
it's a different type of humor.
It's a different type of humor, and you're not really laughing with the voice actors and actresses' delivery. You're laughing at the script that the translator wrote for you.
Right.
It's the writing, and this is just when you have a great dub, you're getting that awesome writing, and you're getting that awesome delivery at the same exact time. And the characterizations of these characters are really well executed.
Yeah,
and that's what makes it so special. So people actually, there's a whole cult following when it comes to Panty and Stocking. There's been teasers on and off because it only lasted one season, and people really want a reboot of it. I wasn't going to bother asking her. I mean, we spoke to Monica Rial for like a brief moment.
Which right. She also is a voice actress. Funimation.
Yeah. She voiced Stocking in that show.
And she voices Bulma in Dragon Ball Super.
She's also in My Hero Academia as well.
My personal favorite waifu.
So, yeah. So, I mean, to answer your question, it's a special dub just because it doesn't just try to... Basically, when it comes to dub animation, the goal of a dubbed anime is basically to just try to recreate the original Japanese intent as best as possible. Right. The original Japanese intent of Panty and Stocking was to be a parody of Western animation.
Okay.
They're Japanese. They don't know Western animation as well as, obviously, an American audience mm-hmm. does. And it's like the perfect marriage of Japanese animation, where they're very good at looking at our animation and being like, all right, I can see what Western animation is like, and they pull it off beautifully, combined with the fact that we have a Western director, writer, and amazing actress delivering that, and it's a perfect marriage that works out perfectly, where we get a Japanese show being like, hey, we tried to write a show about Western comedy. Why don't you guys write Western comedy? And they do, right. And they pull it off.
Well, I'm gonna go check the show out based on your endorsement.
I can't believe it, the words are coming out of my mouth right now when it comes to this show. I really like it.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So we also went to a Q&A session with Christian Nairn.
Yes.
Okay. He is the actor that plays Hodor in Game of Thrones. He's a professional DJ.
This is all you, buddy. I haven't watched the show at all.
He's also in a he guest stars in an episode airing next week of
The Rookie
starring Nathan Fillion. Yes. I don't know anything about this show. I saw the preview when it was coming out. Let's be realistic here. I don't watch TV. neither do you.
No. I'm watching The Sopranos right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'll watch shows years after they come out.
Which is funny. And if you listen, he mentioned that too. That he said that I don't watch TV. I watch things that aired years ago.
Right. And I usually just, like, when I started watching Game of Thrones, I think it was in, like, season 3 or 4. That's how I watch shows. I wait till, like, 3 or 4 years in, and I go, okay, it's still going on, it's still good, people still like it, it's still critically acclaimed. I guess I'll start watching it now. But yeah, so we went to a Q&A with him, and he was super down to earth, super nice. And we're gonna play that interview right now. Yeah, so obviously with Game of Thrones, they're super protective over the plot details and the scripts and stuff. You kind of dove into this role for like 5-6 years. What was your reaction when you read the origins and fate of Hodor?
I didn't know any of it. I only discovered it when I read the script.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I did ask multiple times. I asked George and I asked David and Dan, but I think they very wisely didn't tell me because I'm not very good at keeping secrets. I was satisfied. I really always wanted to know why he was the way he was. And I think it just tied up all the loose ends for me. And I was very happy with the death scene and obviously sad to be leaving the show. But I was happy with the motives behind it, and I just thought it was a great way to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you know about the flashback scene before the show aired, because obviously you weren't filming for that. So
No, I didn't know about it because I had to have some. There wasn't my childhood photographs, so trying to find an actor who looked a bit like me.
Right.
So, which didn't actually. I don't know why they asked in the first place. I looked really different when I was a kid. But he looked like a. They did a really good job. Sam's a great actor.
Awesome, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, you said you were a DJ and a music fan. Yeah. What's your favorite album this year? You have any recommendations?
Album? I mean, I don't really listen to albums, I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
I listen to tracks individually. Because, I mean, I DJ a lot, man, and it's weird. It's kind of destroyed my love of recreational music listening.
Yeah.
Because I've always listened to it from a work perspective. And then I have this balance of, oh, I really like this track, but is the crowd going to like it? And then that means I won't like it then, because it's weird. I have a weird relationship with music in that way. And does it represent me as an artist? Or does it represent just keeping the crowd happy? And somewhere, you want to be somewhere in the middle. Really like Deadmau5's new stuff.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of Joel, because I think he does everything so well. Whether you like him as a person or not, I do like him as a person. And Eric Prydz is another one of my favourite artists, and he's had a really good year also. But yeah, it's hard for me to say what albums I like. Trevor, what albums do I like? The Midnight.
Okay.
Have you heard of a band called The Midnight?
No.
If you like long albums, don't get into them. They release these like long EPs all the time. I'm really into synthwave.
Yeah.
Sort of retro wave and all that sort of stuff. I'm really into that sort of, as is Trevor. And they're like the kings, I believe, of that.
Okay.
And their new album is just beautiful.
So, I'll definitely check them out then.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
They're really brilliant. Chris Evans likes them as well. So. I just see him on their Twitter all the time.
You say you like retro wave. Do you like Miami Nights 1984?
Yes. And yeah, FM Attack and all that
stuff.
Yeah, man. I mean, I love all that. It's so amazing.
It just takes you back to the 80s, no?
Yeah. I'm definitely a child of the 80s. Maybe not the 70s. But my consciousness for music started in the 80s. So I think it's the best decade of music ever.
And that was our Q&A with Christian Nairn.
Wow.
So you don't watch Game of Thrones.
I've watched like 2 episodes of it. It's I'm not going to sit here and just shit on something because it's popular. It looks great. It's definitely something I should.
So you saw 2 episodes of the first season.
Yes.
That first season is incredible.
Like, yeah.
It deals in the first 2 episodes. I don't think like Ned Stark, Sean Bean's character. I don't think he even like gets to the Capitol yet. At the end of the first episode. At the end of the first episode, he like agrees to go to the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
When he gets to the Capitol, the rest of that season is incredible. It's all like political intrigue and like stuff like that. It's a lot of backstabbing and maneuvering.
Lots of incest sex, apparently, too. This from what I hear.
Yeah, a little bit. I wouldn't say it's a lot, but it's a. So yeah, great show. I'm not too hot on the last season. Christian Nairn is not in that season. Maybe that's why.
Well, maybe it's because the show got really popular and they're
trying to rush through the last season.
So let's.
But yeah, so
can I just ask something?
Well, I was about to say. Oh, sure. Go ahead. While it's in your mind.
Yeah. So I
have some questions for you too.
This is a lot of people out there are familiar with Game of Thrones. I'm not so familiar with Game of Thrones. So. Does it follow the same story as the books, or is it different?
It's slightly different in times. Other times it follows it. It's very much like a movie or TV show
adaptation.
Yeah, where there are times where they follow it, and there are times where they change it completely.
Because I've heard this moment where I heard from social media there was moments in the show where they're like, whoa, they went a completely different direction.
Yeah,
like
so there is stuff like that where there are times where they just take a total left turn, and there are times where they follow the book directly.
Okay.
Where it's at right now, the books are not even written yet in the show. That's part of the reason why the show has suffered so much, is because before they had real quality work to go off of, and now they just have like cliff notes that the writer gives them. That's like, this is what's supposed to happen.
So where's the book gonna go then? Like, so okay.
Who knows? Who knows? They're a while back on the books. Like, the show's about to end. This is the final season coming up.
Okay.
And the books still have two, I think, two books left.
How many books are there?
Only three or four.
All right.
I have not read the books, but there's, I think, four.
Okay.
And there's still two more books to be written, at least. And just to say, I don't know anything about the books. So, like, I'm probably, I could be wrong. I know there's at least three or four books, and I'm relatively sure that there's two books left at minimum, and they're not the show's about to end, so the show is going to end, the story is going to end before the books are written. But anyway, regardless, my question to you is, you don't watch Game of Thrones or whatever, but what was your opinion of old Christian Nairn, just from your...
I thought he was a really humble guy, and the kind of actors I admire, where he doesn't... I like acting, like, so I,
right.
I love listening
you
to...
You have dabbled before?
I right? have dabbled in acting. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm, oh, yeah, I've done so much, and I understand the art of acting.
Right.
I've taken acting classes, I've done theater, I've done film, and I love acting. I think it's fun. It's a fun hobby. And I like what acting does for me, like on a, like a, like a, on a spiritual level. That sounds really pretentious, but like on a, it's really fun playing somebody else. It's, and like, I understand why actors do what they do. And I think in another lifetime, I would have really dove into it a lot deeper, but I didn't. I like what I did with it. So I can hear where he's coming from, where he just genuinely likes acting,
right?
And he's not into the politics of it.
Yeah.
And maybe because he's not like really, really huge, so maybe, but
he's a pretty big guy,
but well, physically, I just mean, as yeah. in like stardom, he's pretty, I mean, he got his moment, I'm not trying to like downplay it, but at the same time, he is a really salt to the earth guy. I say that genuinely, not sarcastically, because I mean, people ask some weird questions during that Q&A, and he answered really frankly, and like this moments of, oh, do you hang out with so-and-so celebrity? Do you like blah, blah, blah? And it's just, I'm just a guy who likes acting.
He didn't try and sugarcoat it.
No,
he flat out was just like, I don't hang out with these people. I don't go to premiere shows. I don't go to award shows. I like to sit in my house that's in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by nobody, and hang out with my dogs.
He's an Irish guy, and he flat out was just like, I'm not leaving my home. I like my home. This is where I am. He didn't buy into the whole Hollywood lifestyle. You know, kudos to people who do buy into that. It's a whole web of whatever. But I think what happened with this guy is that he's an older guy who got into a role that got really big, but he's at the age where he realizes what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's not stupid. He understands what's going on here.
He was really down to earth. He was super nice, and he just felt like a regular guy.
Yeah.
He was like joking with the audience.
I could have a beer with this guy.
Right, exactly. He is the new George W. Bush.
Can you remind me of that reference? What are you talking about?
Because that was the joke with like why George W. Bush got elected. Because I was just like,
I can have a beer with that guy. Yeah. I almost forgot about that.
Yeah. no, he was. He it never got tense, even though people were asking like weird stuff. Like one guy
steamrolled the whole Q&A.
Well, one guy steamrolled the whole Q&A. That's fine. He was a weird guy. He had something wrong with him. But the other guy, like the one guy was like, I took a, you know, mind you, we're at a convention. They like charge for pictures and autographs and stuff. And one guy was like, I took a picture with you downstairs and like, I looked like crap. Can I get another picture with you right now? In the middle of his Q&A, and
he made a little funny joke, but he
but he did it.
But he still did it.
Yeah, and he just seemed like a normal dude. He was super gracious. He was really humble, and
it's really clear that this role has not gotten to his head.
Yeah,
at
he's
all.
A really nice guy.
Yeah, he's very humble.
So I liked him a lot, and I'm not big on like celebrities and
I'm not either, and that's where I'm speaking from everybody, is that
You'll never see me waiting in a line to get a picture or autograph
exactly.
with a celebrity.
I don't disrespect celebrities for charging for autographs and all that stuff. That's your whatever. Like, if you make money, do it. But I'm not going to be the guy in that line. I'm never going to be the guy who went like, oh my God, I met so-and-so and have an autograph.
Right,
I don't care who it is. I'm never going to get wait in a long line for an autograph and be like, I spent $50 and they smiled next to me.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay you to pretend to like me for 5
exactly.
seconds.
Exactly. I'm just not. And like, I don't discredit people who do that. And I don't discredit people the actors who do that. But that's just not me. So I really mean it when I say that, like, he seemed like a really genuine, nice guy.
Yeah, he was a cool guy. On that note, what were your overall thoughts on the convention? Gamer and Comic Expo in Miami. What were your thoughts, boy?
I think we're getting old.
Oh boy.
We got a funny bit for you guys.
That Obi-Wan story.
Yeah.
So we're at this cosplay contest. And you know, they have all the cosplayers, they go up on stage, they strut their stuff, and then everyone votes on them. There was this old gentleman, spitting image of Obi-Wan.
Nailed it.
He had white beard. Man, he looked so good. He was like immediately, and it wasn't even that impressive of a costume because it's just literally like a robe with a beard.
But he wore it so well.
But he, yeah, and it was to the point where there's 30 different cosplayers here, and they're all pretty impressive. But Bowman can attest to this. There was only like 3 people where I was like, oh man, look at that guy. Mm-hmm. And that was one of them where I was like, look at that Obi-Wan.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, he was incredible. Spitting image of Obi-Wan. Anyway, the cosplay contest clears out. It's over and done with. And there was supposed to be some sort of like event.
Conglomerate media event. It got canceled.
We don't even know what
it was.
But we go to the room. It's the same room that the cosplay contest was just in. So we go back to the room. And the only person in this giant convention room is Obi-Wan. He's by himself. And guy's got to be maybe 60 years old.
Yeah.
You know, he looked like he could be 60 years old. He looked like Obi-Wan.
Shout out to that guy, by the way. He was cool.
Yeah, he was cool as hell.
Yeah.
He looked exactly like Obi-Wan. And we walk into the room. And what did I say to him?
Oh, I think you said, is there like an adult after party going on tonight?
Oh, yeah. I said, is there any kind of like an adult after party going on tonight? And he says to us, I'm pretty sure that us three are the only people here at the convention that are older than 20 years old. And that was the moment I was like, I told Bowman, I was like, I guess we're old now.
I guess we're old now.
Because this 60-year-old Obi-Wan bundled us together with him and was like, we're old.
I had a moment where we took like a selfie picture with the Supergirl.
Yeah.
And I looked at the picture and went, oof, I'm not young anymore.
And we're not necessarily those
I'm not
people
trying to
that
sit
run
here,
around
yeah,
and go
and
like
we're
so old.
We're so old.
We're 30 years old. We're so old. But it was a telling moment when a lot of the people there were either kids because they were there for Fortnite stuff or they were young adults. Because let's be honest, we're not super old, but like those conventions and shit, like I am getting too old for that stuff. Like to be like on my feet all day long, walking around and shit like that. I don't like what we used to do going to those like music festivals and stuff when we'd be on our feet all day long for like 3-4 days straight, 12-hour days. I can't do that anymore.
I can still do it.
I mean, I could, but I don't want to. I don't want to, and I feel like shit afterwards. My legs, my knees, they all hurt. Anyway, I don't have the patience or the physical prowess to really care to do it anymore. So it is a young person's thing, like to go to these conventions and stuff. It's a lot of young people.
Yeah.
And I didn't really think about it at all. And then when Obi-Wan, fucking old-ass Obi-Wan, is like, yeah, us three are the only people here over the age of 20. I was like, us three? You're old as shit.
I, like, for the past, like, 10 years, I've always been told I look like I'm 12. So that was the first moment where I was like.
Well, you look like shit today. You only slept for, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Kept sniffing your armpit and stuff. I don't know what that was about.
Great. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, the deodorant kind of ran out quickly, and I was really self-conscious about it.
kept rubbing your armpit and sniffing it. I'm like, dude, stop. It's fine.
No one noticed, I'm sure, but
it was a real, it was a good time though. So what was your, all right, so
anyways,
so what were your thoughts on Gamer and Comic Expo?
It was a good convention. I had fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very much typical anime comic convention type thing. It was like a small MegaCon.
I'm going to tell you, I guarantee you MegaCon still let us into your convention if you're listening. But I probably would have had more fun than I would in MegaCon.
Maybe, but I feel like after this experience, we might know how to have a better time at MegaCon True. Next time. Because what we do at MegaCon every time we go is just wander around. Well, and look at all the stuff that we want to buy, but we don't want to buy because we're cheap.
I'm only saying this because this convention was small enough that everybody who was... I mean, I'm not saying it was dead, because it definitely wasn't. Like, it was packed. And especially the Fortnite stuff, that's where everybody was at. Everybody, I don't get it, but...
Never seen that many little kids at a convention before.
That's another old people moment where it's just like, I don't get this. I don't get why this is popular. But anyways, moving on. I don't see the type of moments that you and I have happening in a giant convention. I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
That's where I'm coming from.
Anyway, we were treated really well.
Yeah.
At this convention. Didn't get any free food, but we weren't promised it either. I was just kind of hoping.
We were hoping for that free
food. We did get free Red Bulls.
We did a cut. Yeah, thank you for that.
And we were treated really well. Everyone treated us with respect, and I think that was because we had that press badge on, baby. But instantly, like when we showed up, it was kind of weird when we first showed up, and then as soon as like we were like asking for our badges, and they were like kind of. It was a lot of like volunteers. They didn't really know what was going on.
I've told you, I've been a volunteer.
Yeah, Once we finally talked to Claudia, who was running the event, and she was able to...
She was so professional with us.
She instantly was... Yeah, well, first of all, she was super nice, super sweet to us.
Yeah.
She remembered me from the emails. And yeah. Who knows how many people emailed her. And I offered. I was like... When she was like, oh, I think your badges are over there. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll just go over and grab them. She's like, no, it's fine. I'll go get them. Brought them over. And, just... Gave us the rundown of the convention and was just like, this is probably okay. You might not be able to get an interview with these celebrities or whatever. And she was just like, yeah, you know, she gave us the rundown. She was like, have a good time. And she was incredible. All the employees there were super nice to us. We saw this, kept seeing the same guy running around. Looked like he had the worst job in the world at that convention. That's the one guy who was like in charge of every event.
Yeah.
Just running around like, but he was always super nice and super helpful every time I interacted with him. Everyone was really cool. And I would say the only downside I would say is that we kept getting asked questions because people thought we worked there because we had badges.
Well, it was funny. We would be like, no. And they would just still continue with what they wanted to ask.
Yeah.
Which is just, Pat and I had a large conversation about people who are socially inept.
And well, because I'm like trying to like drink. I'm like drinking out of the water fountain. And some guy's asking me questions.
It's literally just like, it's like.
My mouth is in the water.
It's like almost in the same lines of like us pissing together. And like some guy taps your shoulder while you're pissing and being like, hey, do you know where William Shatner's going to be?
Yeah, I'm actively drinking the water. Like my face is down in the water fountain and some guy comes up to me, "Hey, do you know where William Shatner is?" No.
No. Okay, but it's just
I don't work here, pal. I'm in the middle of drinking water.
Yeah, I didn't realize for the first hour or so that everyone else got like regular wristbands and only like press, exhibitors, celebrities, VIP got the actual badges.
Right. Yeah.
So
Who else did we interact with?
I mean, we talked to Monica Rial for a moment.
She was nice.
She was very sweet. She wasn't able to share an interview because she was on her way out. So talked to her for a moment. I like her. She's known for, she's also in My Hero Academia, Froppy Asui, the frog girl, waifu. Also, Watamote, which she's Tomoko in that, the main character, and I am a fan of that series, so I talked to her about that. So, and I'm right back to Penny and Stocking. She's the other main character in that show. So we had I had a fun time chatting with her. We talked about how good you kids have it out there watching anime.
Yeah, we had a conversation about how people don't get the struggle of the late 90s when you had to.
That's a good topic to dive into.
Yeah.
Pat, how did you watch anime back then?
Well, if I was lucky enough to have money, which I never did, it was weird that this even existed. There was a little stand in the West Oaks Mall near me when it first opened. I lived in a little town in the middle of nowhere called Ocoee. And it was a little hick town that didn't have shit. And they opened a big, fancy new mall, and that was like the biggest thing that ever happened. I remember it was like a grand opening. There was a million people there. It was like a huge deal. And for the first year or two, there was this little stand in the mall that was nothing but like import stuff from Japan.
Pokemon cards and all that stuff?
No, more like toys and things, Dragon Ball Z toys, things like that. And they had bootleg VHS tapes that had been subbed. These were not official things. And I remember you would pay like $25 to get like a shitty, like fuzzy VHS tape with like four if you're lucky, 3 to 4 episodes of Dragon Ball Z or whatever anime on them. And you'd be lucky if all episodes were subbed. I remember I had a Dragon Ball GT tape, and it was the final 4 episodes of the show, and only the first 3 out of the final 4 were subbed, and the final episode wasn't subbed. And you just had to kind of guess what they were talking about.
Yeah.
And, so you pay like $25 for like a shitty, like, pirate VHS tape. And if you didn't do that, I had a friend, this is the late 90s, so like you were, like, not everybody had a computer, and if you did, not everybody had internet. I had a friend who had internet, and he had I remember it was like cutting edge technology. We were so lucky that he had like his uncle or he had a CD burner, and he would leave the computer on all night long.
Oh my God.
To download one episode of an anime.
Yeah.
And he would, and over time, you would get like an entire season or whatever, and it was shitty quality.
Mm-hmm.
And you would, he would burn it onto CDRs.
Yeah.
For me. And that's how I got most of my anime, was a crappy CDR with however many episodes you could fit on it. And that's how I would watch like Initial D and various other shows if they weren't popular enough, because it's the late 90s.
Let's emphasize how bad the quality was, because I mean, I even had certain ones that I would have and the audio was like off.
Yeah.
You were just happy to have it. Like, you're just happy to have access to it.
Yeah. So our conversation with Monica was like, she was getting like harassed on Twitter
about the recent Funimation and Crunchyroll separation,
right? And that Funimation was $6 a month now or whatever.
Yeah, she said she got called an elitist.
Well,
because
she tweeted that $6 a month was like nothing.
Not that big of a deal.
Yeah, and someone accused her, or multiple people accused her of being an elitist, and it's like $6 a month. I'm like, you don't understand. I was paying $25 for a bootleg VHS tape. Yeah.
Nowadays you get it's simul-dub is like also like something that people really take for granted these days. My Hero Academia, we get episodes like within 2 hours when it airs in Japan. That's nuts.
Dubbed?
Yeah. Yeah. No, not dubbed. I'm saying subbed.
You said simul-dub.
My bad. I meant to say simulcast.
Okay.
Simulcast.
Yeah, exactly.
As in, like, you get it that quickly.
Right.
That's nuts. I remember back in, like, 2002, maybe, this sounds, like, so stupid. I'm not trying to be pretentious, but, like, I was in Japan on a trip,
mm-hmm.
and we would stay at a friend's family's place, and I remember Naruto coming on TV, and I was, like, watching Naruto back then.
Right.
And being like, oh, my God, I get to watch Naruto when it comes out. on like yep. live.
Yeah.
This is amazing. And I couldn't even understand it. So it's just, that's, we really have a ridiculous not technology, but just how much anime has blown up to the point where it's available everywhere legally.
Yeah.
And actually even Jamie commented on this in her thing where people were like, is it like pirating, like really messing up pay? And she's just like,
it's no. such a small no. percentage. Yeah.
No. Because the thing is, streaming is convenient now.
Yeah.
It's cheap. People get it. So personally, for me, watching anime consisted of a very similar thing. We were that family that had the CD burner, of course, so we were the ones burning those CDs.
Right.
But I remember downloading episodes for like days end. And also, our first CD burner was like on a shitty laptop. And sometimes someone would like bump the desk, and then you come back the next day, and then the CD burn failed.
Yeah.
Like that would happen. And we bought on eBay back in the early eBay days. We bought like pirated DVDs. But early anime days, it was like Armitage and like Tenchi Muyo the movie were like the two ones I like watched over and over and over again, because that was just the ones we got a hold of.
Right.
And
that's the thing. Yeah, you would end up, because they were so expensive, you end up with a couple of shitty pirate VHS tapes, and it's like you just watch those repeatedly.
Which I look back fondly on those, because you really appreciated the ones that you could watch. Now, when it comes to like Crunchyroll and Funimation and all these streaming services, everything is there for you, and it's overwhelming.
Yeah, I actually was wrong. I had more than just two VHS tapes of DBZ, but it was like I had some of the movies bootlegged and things like that. I'm grateful that that existed, because that's what got me into anime and stuff. So
that was the only way you could, because the thing is, like, Japanese are very protective of their properties.
Right.
And they didn't see a market in America at that point in time.
Yeah.
They weren't releasing this shit over here. So, I mean, that was the only way you're going to get it. So.
All right. Well, final thoughts on the convention. What was your overall? Were you thumbs up? Would you recommend going to Gamer Expo?
Thumbs up.
Gamer,
it's a fun Comic event. Expo. Remind me of my old days going to conventions back then as a kid. I hate to harp on this for too long, but I overheard a little girl who was like, just like so happy about how the cosplay event went for her. I don't know if you heard her. She was like, she must have been like 12. And
was she in the contest?
Yeah. I don't know what she was dressed as. I recognized the character so well. I didn't know. She had like the green shirt on. I don't know who she, but she was like just going on and I just brought me back to me being like,
oh, I remember. Yeah. I overheard her too. Yeah, she was saying, oh, they said if there was like a cutest award, then I would win.
Yeah. And she also just seemed so happy. She was like, I made convention friends. And it's just like, brought me back to being like 13, 14 years old. And I was it's become a joke in our circle of friends that I was like the black sheep kid back then, but I really was like a really socially awkward kid, and I didn't have much friends. And anime conventions were the first time that I got to meet other weird people.
Yeah.
And I felt like I belonged, and like it was just really, really cool witnessing her have that moment.
Yeah.
And but even just outside of nostalgia, it was a solid event.
It was the perfect size of like, it wasn't so huge that it's a total shit show,
mm-hmm.
but it also wasn't so small that it was a joke.
Yeah.
There was two floors. What?
I said it was a good balance.
Yeah, there was two floors. One, the bottom floor was all just, you know, vendors and stuff. And then the upstairs was all the panels and stuff. It was a perfect layout. So I liked it a lot, and we're already talking about next year. Well, you won't be here.
Well, you know.
You're going to that old Japan to move. But we were already talking about next year. I plan on going again, if Claudia will have us. And
who knows? Maybe I'll fly over.
Yeah, maybe. I'm sure.
I don't know. Maybe I'll be in the area. Who knows?
Maybe you're in the area. Maybe you'll be back for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
Yeah. So, anyway, on that note, thanks for listening. This is probably our most exciting episode we've had yet. We are now Analog Out.
Analog Out.
And we need you to subscribe to Analog Out. We need you to share Analog Out. We need your friends, your family, your dog. Make your dog a iTunes account and subscribe to that podcast.
Mm.
the numbers are all that matter.
Yes.
And the numbers right now are not adding up. So we need you to get out there. We need you to follow me at ProjectPat88 with a K, Project with a K. That's where I'm tweeting nowadays about this podcast. Bowman, where can we find you on Twitter?
At Bowman Says. I got, like, no followers because I deleted my Twitter. And
right.
And I just put it back up again.
Okay. Well, you can reach him at Bowman Says, me at Project Pat, Project with a K. You can find us on iTunes, Google, Stitcher, and all that shit. And on that note, cue the music. We'll be right back.